The Name Game. The Name Game is an opportunity for our competitive athletes within Zwer Fitness to throw down, right? Compete. And that is one of the primary goals, is to work on the skill of competing. It's a skill. And if you are an athlete who competes in a sport, it's important to do your sport, right? Coach Chris and I have talked about how it's very similar to like a scrimmage, right? If you are going, you know, sparring in every single, to go to like the boxing worlds, like every single day, is that a good thing? No. But should you do that sometimes? And do you need to do that in order to be prepared to go out in the ring? Yes. Again, it's a similar thing here where we're talking about, if you're in the sport of CrossFit and you're trying to compete and be at your best, you need to practice the skills of competing. And with online qualifiers being as big as they are, that's a whole nother avenue that we can go down. But it's really important that even in the comfort of your own gym, that you can optimize for a test in terms of the standards, how you're setting up for that, how you're preparing for that, your filming process. And we practice all those things in this Name Game session. So, to clarify, this is not an individualized session. This is a session that is, again, something that will be not necessarily exactly the same for every person, because we probably will pull out different scales, different loadings for different people, adjust things as we need to. But basically, we have something that's in the back that our coaches have, that we can then give to each of the athletes, and it is going to be essentially the same workout. Again, with the goal of the stimulus being the same for each person who does it. And that basically, again, it allows for one time throughout people's week, and typically it's not more than that. That is not individualized, and that is good in the fact that it allows you to compare to other people's scores. So we get comparative data. And we have, as all of our coaches, we see what our athletes get. We talk about strengths and weaknesses of different athletes and our community as a whole, like where we need to kind of drive things forward and where we're like, feel like we're doing okay. So yeah, it's not something that's individualized, but that's by design, and it's appropriate because, again, I think it's really easy for people in CrossFit to get sort of so okay, I hired an individualized coach. However, they feel like if there's something isn't individualized that coach is giving them, then that's a bad thing. I think that's only reflective of, you need to understand that as a sport, the sport is the same for everyone, right? So in terms of like how you're actually going about attacking it, it's like football is football. It's not different if you're a linebacker versus a quarterback, right? It's the same rules. It's the same sport. How you go about attacking it might be different. And that's the same thing for us and our athletes. So again, in this one time throughout the week to have an opportunity to throw down, be at your best, and compare against other athletes and what they're able to do in the exact same test is a very important thing, because that's what you do when you go out, so to speak, onto the competitive landscape, and you go to the open, or you go to quarterfinals, or you go to an in-person event with other high level people there. You're trying to be the best that you can across a body of tests. Again, that is what we're optimizing for. Not to beat a dead horse, I just wanted to make sure we're clear. So that being said, I will leave in male and female calories. I will leave in male and female box heights. I will leave in sometimes different scaling options, because I want all the athletes to see what other people are being asked to do. And oftentimes, if you are getting scaled back, it's important that you know what the original workout was, because that's ultimately what you're trying to work towards. That being said, practically on the back end for us as coaches, I have a rough outline. Again, the Name Game itself is obviously going to be different every single week because it's a unique workout. However, there will be some sort of a rough outline that will change every 6 to 8 weeks on the back end of things. And then I coincide that with each of my individual design athletes' templates. So their skeleton for the week, their weekly outline. I know what Saturday is, and that way I can make sure we're not hitting the same priorities that we hit on Saturday earlier in the week. So for example, this current cycle that we're going through with each of these Name Game sessions, if you're doing a full Name Game session, not just the Name Game itself, is rope skills. So like in this case, it's often like crossover double unders, things along those lines. That's first, then jerk and snatch work. Then the Name Game workout itself. Then we have some legless rope climb work with a grip kind of finisher to that. And then an erg based finisher. So basically, threshold type intervals or above. And that's all the priorities that I know are on the back end. And again, that way I make sure that if athletes are training on Friday, that they're not hitting those same priorities and that we're able to sort of sandwich other things in there to make sure that we're getting the most productive training in the week and that we're not hitting the same things on back-to-back training days. So that is the name game session. That is why we do it. And that is why you should join it as well. Again, I got a link to it below, but we have a webpage where every single previous workout is we've ever done for the name game has been on there. So I encourage you to follow along, even if you're not one of our athletes, but that is the name game session. Today, we're going to try something a little bit different. As you just heard, every week, the Zor community collectively takes on a workout that was written by one of our coaches. We always get one of our athletes to demo the workout, and then we release that to our YouTube channel a couple days before we actually take it on. And so our coaching staff thought it might be helpful if we release the audio version to the podcast platform to allow more of our athletes as well as other athletes to have exposure to these workouts and be able to take them on and have that strategy ahead of time before going into it. So if our listeners and our athletes find value in this, we'll probably continue to publish these to the podcast, one about every 2 to 3 weeks. And likewise, if people don't feel like they're getting a lot of value out of it or they're annoyed by the fact that we're publishing these, please let us know. We'd like open feedback. And if that's the case, please be honest with us. You can reach out on social media. And if you really enjoy this, remember that there is a video version on our YouTube channel if you'd prefer to watch that. Now, let's dive into the workout. Welcome to the Name Game. Workout number 129 is Ascent. Four time with a 20-minute cap, 9, 15, 21 with bar facing burpee, deadlift at 195, 125, and box jump over at 24, 20 inches. Immediately into 6, 9, 12 of bench press at 195, 125, deadlift at 335, 215, and box jump over at 40/33 inches.
What's your strategy, Ryan?
I'm gonna go pretty conservative on the first part. Let's see what I can do with the second part. But.
Any break strategy on part two?
I feel like that'll go by feel.
Same with the first part, or just kind of take it slow?
I want to take the first part slower so that I can avoid my back blowing up, but.
Cool, good.
Thanks.
Twenty-one burpees sucks in general.
3, 2, 1, go.
And we're off. Ascent. So obviously this is named this because it's an ascending rep scheme. And usually we see descending rep schemes, especially in training where like the goal is to keep the power output pretty high, but this is in reverse. And Riley kind of mentioned that because it's that way and that a lot of the second half of this, the 9, 6, 12 is at like really tough movements at like heavier loadings and a high box. So you just got to be really careful about how you start off pacing wise. So Day, how would you think about trying to like manage your output in this first part?
It's, I know it's kind of like the 21, 15, 9 or the inverse of that, right? Which is what's happening here. It's kind of a trap. Those nine is gonna feel good. Like nine deadlifts at 125 is not an issue. Like box jump overs at that, not an issue. Bar facing burpees are gonna feel great, right? But then once that fatigue accumulates after those box jump overs and going into 15, that's where I see it, people falling off. So with those nine of the deadlifts, you can do it unbroken. I don't see an issue with that in that first round. But if you want to take a more conservative approach and preserve that grip, because there's going to be more deadlifts on that second part. Yep. Luckily, the rest of this workout isn't grippy, so it's really like your only grip there. So, but just like bar facing burpees and then box jump overs are just high fatigue movements, right? They'll spike that heart rate. So I think those are the ones that are going to be like the trap versus the deadlift.
The tough thing about this is like it's not like rowing or running or like air bike where it's like a cyclical movement where you can really control your output. Like the only way to like slow these down without, like if you slow down a deadlift that's at the same loading, it almost makes it harder rather than easier. So like
right.
the goal
isn't really to slow it down. It's and so like your option is to either break and stop completely or just keep moving through the reps. And these are pretty easy reps, so it's hard to like mentally to want to like break them a lot in this first part until you actually get tired where you're like, oh, I feel like I should break now. So yeah, and that was something that Riley and I had kind of talked about afterwards. I don't really have a great solution for that. It's almost like in the round of 9, just kind of like you're going to feel good, so just kind of use it. And then maybe in the round of 15, just start breaking it, even though you're going to feel fresh still.
Right. And I think that's like you mentioned with like the monostructural movements like bikes, or if you're wearing a heart rate monitor when you run, like you usually know what cadence to go at. Right, you know what wattage output is good for a sustainable, like long time domain or something like that. So you can definitely pace it. Like, that's what we do when we're doing any Metcon, right? You kind of just stare at the screen and be like, okay, that's the RPMs I want to stay at. But when you're doing burpees and all that, it's just like, you don't have that gauge. So it's focusing a lot on the breathing and knowing what strategy works for you when it comes to this. Because there are some strategies that work better for others versus like, the breathing, the pacing, and all that. So just being familiar with that is going to be the helpful part of it.
Yeah, and maybe that, like, again, we got a 20-minute cap, and it's like for a lot of people, you're going to be working up to the cap, right? Where I would say majority of people are probably going to get capped on this workout. So like knowing that, it's like, oh, think of this more as like a 20-minute AMRAP than a, you know, 21:15:9, right? So if you think about it more in that like mental framework, it's like, you know, it really doesn't matter if I break this bar at the set of 9 or the set of 15, like, provided I keep my heart rate nice and low. Like, that's really what matters, is that I don't go crazy. And provided that I don't do that, then everything else doesn't really matter as much in terms of, like, how you actually break it, because it is just such a long piece.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can even tell, like, Riley's breathing pretty hard here. I mean, she is almost 5 minutes in already, and it's, like, just... Again, it's like you want to just get through that first piece so that you can actually get to the second piece where you do want to rest, but
yeah,
it's got to kind of like, yeah, ride the line a little bit.
And 21 burpees sucks in general, and this is after doing the first 2 rounds. So just like all that just accumulated is not fun. So just being really smart with that strategy. And you could tell when she was doing it, she was like, her burpees like looked more methodical. She wasn't like sprinting burpees. Like when she was falling to the floor, like she was like breathing. Like you tell there was a little bit more thought into that versus just blend.
Yep. And I think that was her trying to kind of like pull back the intensity of it and just like try to like monitor the heart rate a little bit and not let it get out of control. Because she's, I mean, there's some fatigue, but it's not like it's like a max effort. It's more so the fact that like there's the daunting second half of this workout where it's like at some point everybody's going to transition over to that. And when you do that, it's like way, like the demands of that are way higher. Like you can't have a 180 beats per minute heart rate and just like blaze through that second part. Like you're going to have to be forced to stop and rest. So yeah, I feel like we're talking circles a little bit, but like, basically like the takeaway is like you have to figure out a way to get through that part with the least amount of total fatigue going into the second part that you can. So let's look to the second part because she's about to finish up here. Starts with the bench press at 125 for ladies, 195 for the guys. Obviously it's going to be a bit by feel because you are like, you know, probably 7 to 10 minutes into the workout at this point, but how might you think about breaking that up?
I think because they're like, the first part was more just fatigue on the lower body and all that. So bench press, like, you probably feel pretty rushed there. If you have a good bench, like, you go through those 6 perfectly fine. Definitely no issue with breaking that up. The 9 is where I'd probably break it up, where, like, descending sets, maybe, like, you do, like, a 5-3-1, you could do 4-3-2, something of that sort. But I don't think that's going to be... For most people, that probably wouldn't be the trickiest part of it. It's mostly going to be those deadlifts at that higher weight, right?
The deadlift into the box jump is definitely a tricky combo. And it's like either in my mind, at least, it's sort of like you either have the bench press or you don't. Like if you're strong, it's like the bench press is almost a break. Like it's not a break from like the upper body, but like you don't use your upper body. Like you're not going to need your triceps and your chest for box jump overs and deadlifts. So that's really like that combo is the tough combo, and then the bench press is sort of just what it is, and you can almost use it as a at least break for like the lower body at least.
Right.
Do you like deadlifting with a belt in workouts?
I do. Yeah. I'm a belter when it comes to the when deadlifts.
I feel like I'm weird. Like I only really like using a belt for squatting. Like I don't use it for like deadlifts. Like I will deadlift to a max without a belt, but above like 85% in squats, I'm like I kind of want my belt.
Just saying. No, I think I'd rather deadlift with a belt versus squatting with a belt. I still use them for both, but like definitely deadlifts.
That's the way most people are. I'm just weird. So the way Riley set this up was that she put, well, I kind of helped her with this, but we set up three bumper plates. That's a 3-inch bumper plate underneath the 30-inch box to get to the 33-inch height for females. And it does wobble a little bit, but I wasn't worried that I was going to like fall over on her. I would warm this up, and if you're someone who can do this RX, just do it. Like the idea is that it is super challenging and it's probably going to be a little bit sketchy. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a higher box jump or something along those lines, or like a higher clear over or something in qualifiers and quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then for the guys, if you have 220 stacked on top of each other, just band them together so that they're not sliding when you jump on top. It's really easy to get your heels caught on the edge of the box and then it like push forward, and you don't want that to happen. It's not going to be a good day.
Yeah, doing these high box jumps right after the deadlifts is probably not fun.
It's like you kind of have to hold your breath when you're doing them a little bit too. It's like you really have to gear up for it, and it's like it can zap your legs, but it's also like that trunk flexion, like you're pulling your knees all the way up to your chest in that high of a box jump.
How was her bench press?
I think she's right around 200.
Okay, so this is a good like rest for her in the in this part. Yeah, and she's smart with how she did it. Like you mentioned with the deadlift, she's not going slow. She's kind of using the bounce from her chest.
Yeah, and that, I feel like that just kind of happens naturally. Like if you can bench fast, you tend to bench fast. And like when they get grindy, they do. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it besides just like resting. And
at that point,
it's like you just kind of want to get through it. So yeah, sort of like handstand push-ups. Like you try not to make them grindy. And if you realize that you did one grindy, you just kind of have to stop. But like, hopefully you don't do that until like the last round of whatever it is. It's like, okay, then it's fine to get away with that. But if you're trying to hold off doing that as long as possible. I don't remember what Riley said, but the way she's resting, it kind of looks like her back's blowing up, which makes sense. But I would definitely imagine people are going to deal with, like, I feel like the deep hip flexion combined with like heavy hinging get a lot of people's low back, especially when you're breathing hard, which obviously she is at this point. Everybody will be. Would that box setup sketch you out?
Luckily, she's a good athlete, so it's like I would trust her in doing it. But like any normal person, I'd be like, absolutely not.
It's tough because like I don't know what they're gonna do. Like I'd love to see like a quarterfinals test, like a higher box jump or something along those lines. But it's just like unless like you do something like this, it's like 20, 24, 30.
Yeah.
Like, okay, most people have multiple of those, so you could stack two of them together and make 40 inches, but they're not going to probably have the females do that realistically, unless it was like a box get over and they use like 48 for males, which that one's a very different movement if you can use your hands. But, so it is sketchy, not going to lie, but, at the same time, it's, I don't know. I have my athletes do like plyometric style, like higher boxes and stuff quite a bit, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're at least a little bit comfortable jumping onto a high box.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you also be like comfortable jumping that height, just like that high power output under that fatigue. Like you have to be comfortable that you have a good box. Like your vertical jump or whatever is pretty good. Because if like you're just barely getting 36, like this workout, like you're going to have to go on, like drop it down to 30. If, like, normally you can't even do it when you're fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're warming up and you're too sketched out to even do a rep or two.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think, honestly, that's probably going to be, like, how most people have to scale something like that. It's just, like, they're mentally, it's like a mental block. They're like, they go to jump on and they, like, dip down. And like, nope, can't, don't feel up for that. The other thing that was kind of interesting with when she was jumping over, it's like when you cash that low, like ideally in like a box jump over like she did in the first round of things, like the 9-15-21, it's like you land on sort of the far side of the box, and that way it makes getting off the box a whole lot easier. Whereas mm-hmm. like when it's that high, it's like you land on the very edge of the box. You're almost like using your feet to like hit the corner, that, and then you can kind of like use that to get up, and that way if you trip, it's like not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then she has to like either like stand up, get over, or like she does this little like duck walk to get across the top of the box. So mm-hmm. that's another thing people are gonna have to think about, is like, maybe don't even think about, but like at least practice, is like when I get up there, I'm gonna be on the very edge. How do I get across the thing without standing up the entire way? Because obviously you don't want to stand up.
Yeah.
So she broke that last set of bench press. Shout out to the ladies. I made the weights even for you guys and made it odd for the guys. I feel like the ladies are always getting screwed from CrossFit HQ in terms of, like, they get weird weights and the guys get, like, normal weights.
Yeah.
Like what is it? Like, they always use, like, 315, like, 205. And it's like, why not use, like, 215? Like, give them an even number.
Yeah. Right.
Like, why does it have to be 205? Like, you should never have to break out a 5-pound plate.
Yeah.
Unless you're, lifting to a max or something. So I was like, you know what? I'll let the ladies have the even numbers and the guys will do something weird. So the guys have the 195, 335, so it's a little bit off.
You kind. Very thoughtful.
No problem. In the words of Chris, I'm a man of the people. And this last set of box jump overs actually goes really well for her. And I think it was just like a matter of, like, at that point, you're kind of through that last bar, and it's sort of like that sprint mentality to finish it out. But overall, I was pretty pleased with how she paced this one. And that's the other thing, is like when you're in a workout like this, like, I feel like, I'm just making excuses for myself at this point, but like, I just feel like I can breathe so much better if I'm not wearing a belt.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, she's like undoing it each time and kind of like taking a break and letting herself breathe, but like, I don't know.
It does like when you're trying to breathe and it's like kind of snug, I do see that. Like, especially in a workout like this where you're just like breathing heavy the whole time.
I feel like half the time if I go to deadlift and I'm like wearing like a belt and it's like super heavy, where it like starts to like crunch me a little bit, like it feels like I'm gonna puke because it's like digging into my ribs. Yeah,
right, it like digs right here.
Yeah, like I can brace as hard as I want, if I'm pulling a max deadlift, like it's, I'm gonna get crunched a little bit. You can see this duck walk here across the top of the box. Which, the other thing, if you can get like that, the second step right on the, like, she can see she puts like her toe over the lip of the box, that allows you to kind of like your toe won't get stuck on the box if you do that, versus if you kind of take two normal steps, it'll get caught. Like, if anybody's ever like hopped off the back of like a tailgate of a truck or something, like, it's a lot easier to get out if you like put like your toes over the lip and just let your feet kind of hang over the edge a little bit. Good job, Riley.
How was it?
It's not nice. The first part, like, got your heart rate and then like blew your back up, so then the second part, like, your heart rate really chilled out, but my back was so blown up that it was like hard to move through it. So but it was fun.
What the movements was the hardest?
Honestly, I think the deadlifts, like, maybe just because my back was already like a little bit tight beforehand, but it just got really hard to pick it up towards the end. And then this was hard too, but
yeah,
the bench was the break.
Are you happy with your execution?
I don't know. I feel like I'm happy with the first part. I felt like I kept my pace kind of where I wanted it. Just like pretty conservative, but like moving through it. But the second part, I mean, I wish my back wouldn't have blown up so much, but I feel like I did what I could, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it, just overall. Yeah. Nice job.
Thanks.
Alrighty, folks, it's that time. Be sure to submit your scores to the leaderboard at zorfitness.com/TNG. You're more than welcome to share this and take it on with some friends, and best of luck on the workout.